Today is another day. It is a very special day because Exposé 247 is going live for the very first time on Sunday. So, hooray! And in case you're joining us for the very first time, you have my permission to congratulate yourself for being part of history. You've made history with us. And we're doing this second, we will be having these two series, Saturday and Sunday, in response to people who actually are pushing us and edging us on with their questions. I remember a particular brother was asking us the question and he repeated the question the other time. Well, we just want to say that you're like several episodes ahead of us. So we are trying to catch up with you by trying out this Sunday in continuation with Saturday. So hopefully we'll be able to get to that part of the question in the series. So that brother, and for every other one, this episode is for you. So before we start home for today, I just want to share my reflection of yesterday with you, if you wouldn't mind, and I hope the audience will join us. Yesterday, there are two things that came strong for me. The first thing was talking about the deadness,
yeah,
as against multiplication, as against makeover, and what?
Yeah, that it was about all about the dead coming back to life. That's what the father saw about the younger son.
So, telling that, why, just remembering what Paul has said, that whosoever is in pleio is dead, why is alive? So, why that younger son felt he was partying and enjoying himself, exploring and exploiting, he doesn't know that that was a dying process. So, that gave me some sudden burst of emotions to reflect on. And secondly, then the other time you mentioned about the story of the brother, asking Jesus to be a judge between them.
Yeah.
Reminding me of when instances we have turned God to only as a judge, a deliverer.
Reducing the potency of the gospel.
Only to healing.
Below what it was meant to be. It's a matter of the dead coming back to life.
So we'd rather have the Lord be a judge for us, a deliverer, a healer, or anything. But he is the resurrection and life. So that is the truth.
That's the key about, in fact, the resurrection. According to the scriptures, is the major evidence that God gave to authenticate that Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible says God has set a day that he will judge the whole world, and he has given evidence of this by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. So the scriptures maintain the most full proof, the greatest evidence that God has to give to authenticate who Jesus is, was raising him from the dead. Every other thing was secondary. And that's the way we should actually see it as well.
So I must remember, among God being every other thing, is the resurrection and life.
That's
I just say two things? No, I remember one more thing.
Okay.
That I just remember from that story, that the moment the son walked out of the perimeter of the father's grace and will, is just assumed dead.
Dead, that's it. That's
walking out of God's will, walking out of the perimeter of his will, of his goodness, is just the transition.
Disconnected.
From life to death. So no matter what he was doing there, no matter the metric he's been measured, whether he's flourishing or not, he's just assumed dead. He's a dead person. I just hope you're able to share my reflection. And today,
today we would actually explore further the Luke 15:24, the one we actually began yesterday. We said the father looked at the younger son when he came back home. There's still more to it.
Okay.
The father looked at the younger son on his way back home, and the father said, after they welcomed the younger son, the father gave a commentary. The father said, "This my son was dead." This is verse 24 of Luke 15.
Okay.
"This my son was dead, and now is alive. He was lost and found." And we did say, this is not just about the younger son. This is all about what the gospel is all about. And if you know what the gospel is, it is the power to raise dead men. Now, before we go on, we need to talk about the genesis of how men became dead in the first place. If you're a Bible scholar, you understand that in Genesis, God told Adam, God said, "The day you eat of the fruit, that day you will surely die." So that was the genesis of where men became dead for the very first time. And you will begin to wonder, on the very day that Adam ate the fruit, I was expecting Adam to fall down and die on that very day. But after Adam with Eve ate the forbidden fruit, you would notice they were still talking with God even after that. And the question you want to ask is, what happened? I thought God said to Adam the day. God didn't say, "Adam, after you eat the fruit, you will die." God said the day, mark the word, God said the day you eat the fruit, that very day you're going to die. Alas, Adam was still walking around. Now, the one thing we notice is, it has to mean, what did God mean by death in terms of Adam? Because Adam obviously did not die on that very day. Now, people have two interpretations for this. Some school of thought think, well, when God said a day to God was more than just one 24 hours. Or some people argue and say, well, you could also imagine that when God meant death to Adam, it was beyond physical death. Now, whichever way you look at it, one thing we have to come to a conclusion with is, something happened to Adam. Adam lost something on the day that he disobeyed God. And right from that time, mankind, death was passed from Adam onto everyone. That's why we simply said, if anyone is in Christ, the Bible says, if anybody is in Christ, a new what? Creation. Now, mark the word. It didn't say, it says, if anybody is in Christ, a new creation, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, the question is, it didn't say some of the things have become new. It said, everything about that person has become new. You think about it. When you gave your life to Jesus, if you're born again, you would agree with me that your skin color did not change. You would agree with me that some of the thought process you had before did not change. You didn't supernaturally, your thought did not supernaturally change. Your mind, your will, your emotion did not change overnight. But the scriptures cannot be broken. John chapter 10 says that. If God said all things have become new, then the big question is, what was God talking about? If all things, not some of the things, not 70%, not 80%, not 99.9%, God said, at the time of new birth, all things become new. It has to mean that what God was referring to is not your body. It has to be what God was referring to. It wasn't just your mind or your emotions, which didn't significantly change. If you ever changed at the new birth, it has to mean God was talking about something else. And that thing God was talking about in you, that thing changed 100%. Because all things have become new. So what is that thing in you that changed? It is your spirit. It is your spirit man. Now, you see, so when the father said to the younger son in Luke 15, 24, he said, my son was dead, now he's come back to life again. He was addressing his spirit. Now, listen, the Bible says there's a spirit in man. Every man has a spirit in them. When Adam fell in the garden, there was a disconnection of his spirit from God. The book of John chapter, you see, when Jesus was speaking to that woman at the well of Samaria, the Samaritan woman, Jesus said, woman, listen, it is not about worshipping on this mountain or the other mountain. It's not about Mount Gerizim or Mount Ebal. Jesus, there were two mountains, the Mount of Cursing and the Mount of Blessing. Yes, this woman was asking Jesus a theological question. He said, Jesus, where should we worship? Jesus said, it's not about any location. It's not about a building. It's not about a mountain. Jesus said, the time come and now is that the true worshippers will worship God in spirit. Why? The next verse says, because God is spirit. What men lost with God was the fact that men could not connect with God. The spirit of man was dead, inactivated to the divine purpose where God created it. And so what happened at the new birth is simply this, God resurrecting that part of man that can relate with God, and that is the spirit of man. So when the father said in Luke 15, 24, he said, my son that was dead has come back to life. The father is saying something in him has come back to life. And we simply make the fact known today that what really came back to life in you, what was 100% changed in you, is that your spirit became recreated, came alive. And mark these words. And I think most Christians don't take this really serious. Mark these words. Your spirit did not come alive 60, 70, 80. It's 100%. The Bible says all things, mark the word, all things have become new. You become a new person, a brand new spirit that never existed before. And that is what it means when we talk about the dead coming back to life at a new birth. Now, having said this, how is this important to you and I on a daily living? I mean, how we live our lives daily. How is this very important? This is so important for one reason. Until we appreciate and understand the fact that our spirit has come alive 100%, and that everything that God can ever give us, he has put that into our spirit. If you notice, he said all things have become what?
New.
Your spirit man is not a work in progress. I know people talk about, oh, there's a work in progress. If there's a work in progress, it's not your spirit. The Bible says all things have become new. Now, what does that mean? It means the Bible says all that we need for life and godliness, God has given it to us. There's nothing that you need. There is nothing that you need for life and godliness that God has not put into your brand new spirit. Now, there is nothing that you need to become There is nothing that you need to achieve. There is nothing that God wants you to actually end up becoming in your life that is not in your spirit. How did I know that? Because the Bible says all things that you need for life and godliness have been given to you. In fact, there's a place where it says that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings available in Christ Jesus. Now, the reason people are not aware of that is simply because we don't appreciate the fact that a new birth, our spirit man came back alive 100%. Our spirit man is not trying to improve. Our spirit man is not trying to grow. Our spirit man is 100% perfect. Now, this is the problem. This is because we need to highlight the problem. The problem is your mind, your will, your emotion, your body. They've not contacted that 100% recreation. And this is where the issue is. I mean, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, we talk about love, we talk about joy, I mean, long-suffering and all these things we talk about. The Bible says these are fruit of the Spirit. Have you noticed? The Bible says it is the fruit of your mind. The Bible didn't say it is the fruit of your will or your emotion. The Bible didn't say all these things are fruit of your body. It says love, joy, peace, long-suffering, endurance, all these things are the result, the fruit of your spirit. Because your spirit has all these things in them already. Your spirit is packaged. It's 100% perfected. That's what came alive at the new birth. Now, what makes a Christian, a carnal Christian, or a spiritual Christian is this fact. Spiritual Christians, or those who are spiritual, are the people who know what God has done for them in Christ Jesus, and that their dead spirit has come back to life, and that all things have become new. Not some of the things. Everything is new about your spirit. There is no malice in your spirit. There is no envy in your spirit. There is no unholy anger in your spirit. There is no poverty in your spirit. There is no darkness in your spirit. There is no limitation in your spirit. It's perfect. It's all things have become new. I'm quoting 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things have become new. Now, that means that the Bible talks about the fact that we have Christians who are carnal. 1 Corinthians 3. To be a carnal Christian is to be a Christian who is not living every day from that newly recreated, 100% perfected spirit. You're not living from there. You're living from your mind. You're living from your emotions. You're living from your will. You're living from your body. That's why the word carnal is the same word in biology. They call carnivorous, you know, from carnal, meaty, fleshly. I mean, so to be a carnal Christian doesn't mean somebody who is partying around, because I think we talk about carnality. People think about somebody who is not praying as they should, or somebody is not actually following the rules and regulations of the Word of God, is a carnal Christian. Well, you could say that, but it's more than that. To be carnal means, even though we have come alive in our spirit, we were dead before, now we are alive again, but we are not allowing that new life in our spirit to overrule our minds, to overrule our emotions. For example, if a Christian refuses to forgive someone, if someone offends you and you don't forgive them, and you said, I cannot forgive them. Now, what it simply means is this. It means you're not living from your spirit. Because the Bible says, regarding your spirit, all things have become what?
New.
There is nothing like unforgiveness in your spirit. It doesn't exist in your spirit. I repeat again, I can say this 1,000 times today before we leave. The Bible didn't say your spirit is progression. It said all things have become new about your spirit. So there is nothing like unforgiveness in your spirit. So the reason why a Christian might not be able to forgive someone who offends them is because they're not allowing the fruit of the Spirit to overrule their mind, to overrule their emotions. And that's where we call it carnality. So we need to understand every day when you wake up, you need to celebrate this. Say, Father, thank you that I was dead, but now I'm alive again. My spirit man was dead, but now I'm recreated. I'm a new person. And thank you, for my spirit is not a work in progress. According to the scripture, he said, all things about my spirit has become new. So today, I allow that to overrule my mind. I allow that to overrule my will. I allow that to overrule my emotion. I allow that to overrule my body. That's what is called spiritual maturity. Allowing the perfected spirit to overrule everything about you. So that's why you can forgive. Because there's forgiveness in your spirit. There's no unforgiveness in that. So this is what the Father meant in verse 24 when he said, my son was dead, but now he's alive. It's what came alive in you is your spirit, your new born again recreated spirit. And I think we have not celebrated this much in God's kingdom, and that's why we allow our minds, our will, our emotions to rule our lives.
I hope this episode will provide a form of clarification for anybody struggling with the idea, maybe somebody outside the will of the Father who is a sinner, just feeling that he's not feeling dead enough. You know, some might feel like, why would you be saying I'm dead? And outside of the will. So to know that he's dead. And for the other parts, for those people who are running to Christ's kingdom, who are not feeling the life of God, who don't even know that they are alive, alive unto righteousness.
Amen.
So who are not yet aware of it, I hope today's episode has provided that input and insight to know that when we come to the Father, when we're born again, we become new. Everything it's about new. Our spirit becomes new.
You're 100% new when you come to Christ. Now, it doesn't matter whether you feel it. I know. You see, if you live by your feelings or you live by how you feel in your body, if you live by how you feel in your emotions, you will conclude and say, I don't think something new happened at a new birth. Or I don't think I got recreated. I don't think I'm a new person because I don't feel like a new person. When you give your life to Jesus, you say, Father, thank you. I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins and today I'm a new person. Now, people say that by faith when they come for the altar call. But amazing enough, the next day or the next few hours, they say, I don't feel anything new. And the reason why people say that is because they're living by their feelings. And the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. You could simply say one thing for sure, that faith is the sight of your recreated human spirit. Because just like your body has its own eyes, as it's your mouth, your nose, and every part of your body, your spirit has its own senses as well. And faith is the major sense of your spirit. So if you have become a new person, going from death to life in Christ Jesus, you have to know you have a newly recreated spirit. This spirit is perfected and it's 100% perfected. There is nothing wrong with it. All you need to do is just take it by faith and begin to act accordingly and you will see the fruit of it. So there are so many fruits of the spirit, things that the Bible talks about being the result of this new spirit.
On a final note, I would like to enjoy our audience to celebrate their life, the newness of life.
Coming back to life from the dead.
Yes, the newness of life, as long as we're in the perimeter of the Father's will. So, to catch you up next week, I would like to remind you that we'll be having this episode, we'll be running 2 episodes per week, on Saturday and Sunday, 7 time UK time. So, we want to say, bye, celebrate your life, see you next week.
Bye, God bless you.